"Back to the ship, then," he was saying. "Victor, how are you feeling? Did you eat enough? Should I send for some mulled wine from the kitchens?"
Harry saw Crumb shake his head as he pulled his furs back on.
"Professor, I would like some wine," said one of the other Durmstrang boys, hopefully. "I wasn't offering it to you, Polyakov," snapped Karkaroff, his warmly paternal air vanishing in an instant. "I notice you have dribbled food all down the front of your robes again, disgusting boy."
Karkaroff turned and led his students towards the doors, reaching them at exactly the same moment as Harry, Ron, and Hermione. Harry stopped to let him walk through first.
"Thank you," said Karkaroff carelessly, glancing at him.
And then Karkaroff froze. He turned his head back to Harry and stared at him as though he couldn't believe his eyes. Behind their headmaster, the students from Durmstrang came to a halt too. Karkaroff's eyes moved slowly up Harry's face and fixed upon his scar. The Durmstrang students were staring curiously at Harry too. Out of the corner of his eye, Harry saw comprehension dawn on a few of their faces. The boy with food all down his front nudged the girl next to him and pointed openly at Harry's forehead.
"Yeah, that's Harry Potter," said a growling voice from behind them.
Professor Karkaroff spun around. Mad-Eye Moody was standing there, leaning heavily on his staff, his magical eye glaring unblinkingly at the Durmstrang headmaster. The colour drained from Karkaroff's face as Harry watched. A terrible look of mingled fury and fear came over his face.
"You!"
he said, staring at Moody as though unsure he was really seeing him.
"Me," said Moody grimly. "And unless you've got anything to say to Potter, Karkaroff, you might want to move. You're blocking the doorway."
It was true. Half the students in the hall were now waiting behind them, looking over each other's shoulders to see what was causing the hold-up. Without another word, Professor Karkaroff swept his students away with him. Moody watched him out of sight, his magical eye fixed upon his back, a look of intense dislike upon his mutilated face. As the next day was Saturday, most students would normally have breakfasted late. Harry, Ron, and Hermione, however, were not alone in rising much earlier than they usually did at weekends. When they went down into the entrance hall, they saw about 20 people milling around it, some of them eating toast, all examining the goblet of fire. It had been placed in the centre of the hall on the stool that normally bore the sorting hat. A thin, golden line had been traced on the floor, forming a circle 10 feet around it in every direction.
"Anyone put their name in yet?"
Ron asked a third-year girl, eagerly.
"All the Durmstrang lot," she replied. "But I haven't seen anyone from Hogwarts yet."
"Bet some of them put in last night after we'd all gone to bed," said Harry.
"I would have done if it had been me. Wouldn't have wanted everyone watching. What if the goblet just gobbed you right back out again?"
Someone laughed behind Harry. Turning, he saw Fred, George, and Lee Jordan hurrying down the staircase, all three of them looking extremely excited.
"Done it!" Fred said in a triumphant whisper to Harry, Ron, and Hermione. "Just taken it!"
"What?" said Ron.
"The aging potion, dung brains," said Fred. "One drop each," said George, rubbing his hands together with glee. "We only need to be a few months older."
"We're going to split the 1,000 galleons between the three of us if one of us wins," said Lee, grinning broadly.
"I'm not sure this is going to work, you know," said Hermione, warningly. "I'm sure Dumbledore will have thought of this."
Fred, George, and Lee ignored her.
"Ready?" Fred said to the other two, quivering with excitement. "Come on, then. I'll go first."
Harry watched, fascinated, as Fred pulled a slip of parchment out of his pocket, bearing the words, "Fred Weasley, Hogwarts." Fred walked right up to the edge of the line and stood there, rocking on his toes, like a diver preparing for a 50-foot drop. Then, with the eyes of every person in the entrance hall upon him, he took a great breath and stepped over the line. For a split second, Harry thought it had worked. George certainly thought so, for he let out a yell of triumph and leapt after Fred, but next moment there was a loud, sizzling sound, and both twins were hurled out of the golden circle as though they had been thrown by an invisible shot-putter. They landed painfully 10 feet away on the cold stone floor, and to add insult to injury, there was a loud popping noise, and both of them sprouted identical long white beards. The entrance hall rang with laughter. Even Fred and George joined in once they had got to their feet and taken a good look at each other's beards.
"I did warn you," said a deep, amused voice, and everyone turned to see Professor Dumbledore coming out of the great hall. He surveyed Fred and George, his eyes twinkling. "I suggest you both go up to Madame Pomfrey. She's already tending to Miss Fawcett of Ravenclaw and Mr. Summers of Hufflepuff, both of whom decided to age themselves up a little too, though I must say neither of their beards is anything like as fine as yours."
Fred and George set off for the hospital wing, accompanied by Lee, who was howling with laughter, and Harry, Ron, and Hermione, also chortling, went in to breakfast. The decorations in the great hall had changed this morning. As it was Halloween, a cloud of live bats was fluttering around the enchanted ceiling, while hundreds of carved pumpkins leered from every corner. Harry led the way over to Dean and Seamus, who were discussing those Hogwarts students of 17 or over who might be entering.
"There's a rumour going round. Warrington got up early and put his name in," Dean told Harry. "That big bloke from Slytherin who looks like a sloth."
Harry, who had played Quidditch against Warrington, shook his head in disgust.
"We can't have a Slytherin champion." "And all the Hufflepuffs are talking about Diggory," said Seamus contemptuously, "but I wouldn't have thought he'd have wanted to risk his good looks."
"Listen," said Hermione suddenly. People were cheering out in the entrance hall. They all swiveled around in their seats and saw Angelina Johnson coming into the hall, grinning in an embarrassed sort of way. A tall black girl who played chaser on the Gryffindor Quidditch team, Angelina came over to them, sat down, and said,
"Well, I've done it. Just put my name in."
"You're kidding," said Ron, looking impressed.
"Are you 17, then?" asked Harry.
"Course she is. Can't see a beard, can you?" said Ron.
"I had my birthday last week," said Angelina.
"Well, I'm glad someone from Gryffindor's entering," said Hermione. "I really hope you get it, Angelina."
"Thanks, Hermione," said Angelina, smiling at her.
"Yeah, better you than pretty boy Diggory," said Seamus, causing several Hufflepuffs passing their table to scowl heavily at him.
"What are we going to do today, then?" Ron asked Harry and Hermione when they had finished breakfast and were leaving the great hall.
"We haven't been down to visit Hagrid yet," said Harry.
"Okay," said Ron, "just as long as he doesn't ask us to donate a few fingers to the Scroots."